Let's look at functions of evil spirits and how they demonize.
Glory to God.
Let's learn how they work and how they operate so that we can defeat them, so that we can keep them out of our own lives, first of all, and then that we can reach and touch as many other people by the power of God and by the blessing of God to deliver them and to help them to be freed from the power of darkness and walk in the kingdom of light. Now, they have major functions of evil spirits. First of all, is to distract you from the purposes of God, to distract you from the purposes of God so that you don't accomplish your God-given ministry and role in life. They'll do many, many things to try to distract you from the purpose and the calling of God upon your life. They'll bring up money. They'll bring up problems in the home. They'll bring up problems in the church. They'll bring up problems in your community. Anything to distract you from your God-given mission in life, your God-given purpose as a man or a woman of God, they'll try to distract you. And secondly, they'll try to replace God in your experiences of life. That's right. There are specific demons out there who try to, their goal is to replace the Holy Spirit in your life, to try to get you to listen to them rather than listen to the Holy Spirit. And they'll try to overcome, they'll try to counterfeit the gifts of the Spirit. They'll try to counterfeit the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you must stay sharp, because these religious demons will attack the most sincere, the most charismatic, the most Spirit-filled believers. And if you are swayed by their influence, you'll think that you're under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and you'll really be under the influence of a religious spirit. That's right. They want to be Lord of your life. They want to be Lord of your life. That's why your life and your heart and your commitment must belong to Jesus Christ. That's why the Word of God says that we are to love God. That's one of the reasons why, anyway. That we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. If you love anything other than God with all of your heart, soul, and strength, or if anything draws away from your love of God, that is the influence of a demon spirit. That's right. If you love your children, you love your family, you love your country, you love your wealth, you love anything more than you love God, you are under the influence of demon spirits. That's right. And they are trying to replace God in your life. They are trying to replace God in your life, and to a degree they have. That's right. Because whatever you love with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your strength is what you worship. Now, it doesn't matter really what comes out of your mouth when your heart is in another place. Jesus said that, you know. He said, with their lips they honor me, but their heart is far from me. That's right. And these were sincere religious people, and yet they were influenced by a religious demon that caused them to turn away from the worship and the love of the true God and to worship something other than God. And this is what they try to do. And you got to give the devil credit where credit is due, because he's real sneaky. He's weak, he's ugly, he's predictable, but he is sneaky, and he's deceitful. And if we don't stay on guard and stay sharp, he gets his clutches in, he gets his influence into our lives. That's why we must always be willing to repent, because all of us will get tricked at times. That's why we must always seek the Lord's face, because at times we will be taken away from him. That's right. We can't win this war by ourselves. Don't even try. Don't even think about it. You can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't win. You can't even start to fight without him, effectively. Humility towards the Lord, to be strong in the Lord, and to be bold towards the enemy are the attitudes of heart that we must have in the spiritual warfare in which we are all in. Proverbs chapter 25. Turn there, please. Psalms, Proverbs chapter 25. Bless your heart. How do they demonize? How do demons get into the lives of Christians and into the lives of non-believers? Well, they always exploit areas of weakness. They always exploit areas of weakness. And a Christian can be demonized. He can be demonized because the Holy Spirit dwells in his spirit, but not necessarily in his soul or in his body. In those parts of his life, he can still be attacked by demons. We saw the woman who was a daughter of Abraham, wonderful woman of God, and yet she still had a spirit of infirmity in her body. That's right. And we've seen this experientially over the years with thousands of Christians that I personally have ministered to and ministered among who have been demonized either in their soul or in their body. The demons have gotten in either to their soul or to their body. Now, in their spirits, the Holy Spirit still dwelt in their spirit. They were still saved, still going to heaven. But in their souls weren't saved. Or their souls had been compromised by demon spirits in certain parts of it, and they had to be cast out. But this is, I want to show you how a demon gets in. How a demon gets in. It says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." The NIV reads, the New International Version of Proverbs 25:28 reads, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control." You see, the walls of the city were built to defend the city, to keep the enemy out. That's right, to keep the enemies of that city out. When a man lacks self-control, either in his body or in his soul, if he lacks self-control, he is like a defenseless city. A demon can walk in anytime he wants to. That's right. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse 25, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." People who don't have self-control are taken captive by the devil at his will, when he wants to, because that city has no defense because the walls have been torn down. You see, you have to have strong walls around your city, so to speak. You have to have strong spiritual defenses. You have to be in control of your soul and of your body. You have to make your body be in control to the Spirit of God and not where the bodily lusts, the lusts of the flesh, control you. That's right. Or your soulish desires must be in submission to the Spirit of God. You know, we all want pleasure. We all want luxury. We all want success. We all want comfort. These are things that God has put within, these are natural desires within the soul and within the body of every human being. And God can supply these desires, and He will supply these desires. But if you seek to have those desires met outside of the will of God, outside of being led by the Spirit, the devil can do things to try to satisfy those desires as well. That's right. But he does it through sin. And when you sin to bring in the satisfaction of those desires, not only does the desire come into the comfort, but also the demon that brings it as well. That's right. You get an unexpected guest. When you open yourself up to having your needs met from any other source than the true God. That's right. Any other source than the true God. When it comes to a person being invaded by a demon spirit, and this can be a Christian or a non-Christian, when a person is invaded by the demon spirit, there's two Greek words that are used in the Word of God to describe that situation. One is the Greek word daimonizomai. The other is the Greek word echo. And you need to understand the difference between these two words because they are very critically important in describing the situation with which you're dealing. Look at Matthew chapter 4. This will explain a lot to you ministers especially who have been dealing with casting out demons. You can cast out a demon that has come into a human's body, and it's in the body as a daimonizomai. But you cannot cast out a demon that is in a human body when the word echo, the Greek word echo, describes the situation. So I have to explain the difference between the two so that you understand how to minister to both types of people, so that both types of people can eventually get delivered. In Matthew chapter 4, the words in the Word are used with a mathematical exactness and a scientific precision. So when it uses the word daimonizomai for someone who is possessed of a devil, it has the Word of God has a reason for it. The Holy Spirit has a reason for it. When it uses the Greek word echo to describe somebody who has been invaded by a demon spirit, the Holy Spirit has a purpose for it. And we have to go to the Word and understand the difference between the two words so that we can recognize the situation when we confront it in the real world. Matthew chapter 4. And in verse 24, in talking about Jesus, and it says, His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils. That's the word daimonizomai. And those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whenever a demon gets into a person's body, either through sickness or through some other weakness, and he invades that body, he hasn't been invited in there, but he invades that body, that situation is called a daimonizomai. He is demonized. He is demonized by a demon. But there are situations where people actively and by their own freedom of will invite demons into their body. You can cast out the demons of somebody who has been daimonizomai'd because they never wanted the demon to be in there in the first place. The demon invaded the body or invaded the mind through a weakness in that person's life, and you have every right to cast them out as long as they allow you to pray for them. But you cannot cast out a demon in someone's body who has invited that demon to come in because you don't have spiritual authority there, because that person has spiritual authority over their own body. And if they have allowed a demon to come in, then that demon has every right to be there and you can't cast it out. That's right. That's right. You can't cast a demon out of somebody else's body until that person allows you to and wants that demon to go. Because if that demon is in that human body by the invitation of the human host, and there are lots of people like this, and we'll see it here in the Word, if that demon is in that human body by the invitation of the human host, then that demon has every right spiritually to stay in that body. That's right, you can't cast it out. So many times we've tried to cast demons out of people, and the people didn't want the demons to leave. So they couldn't cast it out. Couldn't cast it out. Didn't have any right to. That's right. These people who had been invaded by demons, they didn't want the demons to be there, so when Jesus ministered to them, the demons left. That's right. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This is the accuracy of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 says, When even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and this is the word daimonizomai. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That's right, praise the Lord. He had the right to cast those demons out because those people wanted them out. They came to Jesus for ministry. You know, I don't seek people out to minister healing to them. I wait for people to come to me. Jesus never sought anybody out to minister healing to them, except in a few special situations where he was sent to minister to, where the Holy Spirit sent him to minister, for instance, to Lazarus. But people sought him out. People sought him out, and they came to him. And then Jesus ministered to them because they had submitted themselves spiritually to his authority. He ministered to them, and they got delivered. But there are other people out there who have demons who want those demons to be there. And you and I can't cast those out. That's right. That's right. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, bless your heart. Acts chapter 16. It says in verse 16, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination and menace, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." Here the word possessed is not the word demonizomai. It's the word echo. And it literally means to have a demon. They had a demon. And it refers almost to the fact that they almost like owned that demon. When someone is demonizomai'd, the demon has them. But when somebody is has echo a demon, it's like they have the demon. See? She had the demon of divination, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." This did she many days. Well, why didn't Paul cast this demon out the first day? It says, "This did she many days." But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out." Why didn't he cast the demon out the first day? Because he had no authority to. Because she had the demon. She had the demon. You put yourself in this woman's shoes, you'll be able to understand this very clearly. This woman was a slave. To be a slave back in the first century was even worse than being a slave today. They had very few of the luxuries of life. They had very few. They had just barely enough food. They had just to live. They had just barely enough, you know, comforts of life to survive. Here was this woman. She was a slave. But because she had this spirit of divination, I'll bet she got better clothing. I'll bet she was treated better than the other slaves. I'll bet she got better food. Why? Because she was making her masters much gain by soothsaying, and they had to fix her up and they had to make her look good so that she could be presentable, so that she could do this divination for other rich people. That's right. She was a well-treated slave. And because she was well-treated, she wanted to hold on to that which brought her this kind of power in her life. This kind of blessing in her life. She wanted to hold on to that demon. That's right. That's why it says she had the demon. In America, we use the phrase that something or something is someone's meal ticket. In other words, it's their way of achieving fame. It's their way of making money. It's their way of making their living. This woman was making her living as a slave and having a better lifestyle than other slaves because she had this peculiar power. But the peculiar power came with a demon, a demon of divination. This did she many days. Finally, she was able to be ministered to by Paul, ministering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened during those many days? You know what the believers did with her? They took her in. That's right. They loved her. They cared for her. They taught her about the Lord Jesus Christ. They blessed her. And finally, she realized, she came to the place where she could say, "I want this demon out of my life because I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And even if I lose all my privileges, and even if I lose all the power, and even if I lose all the wealth that I have gained because I've had this spirit, I would rather freely give it just to have Jesus as the Lord in my life and to have a sound mind." The apostles and the disciples loved this woman and worked with her and brought her to the place where she didn't want this demon anymore. Then Paul could say, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out." And that demon came out and it didn't come back. How do I know it didn't come back? Because it says that the men who owned that woman realized that the hope of their gains was gone. Glory to God. Glory to God. When you have people who have demons, you have to just so lovingly work with them. to bring them to the place where they say, I want this thing out of my life. Then you can minister effectively to them. Then you can help them. If they've been invaded by a demon spirit, if they're daimonizomai, you can cast that spirit out anytime, day or night. That's right, as long as you're led by the Spirit of God. But when you're dealing with somebody who owns a demon, who've opened the door, so to speak, for that demon, who've allowed that demon to come in there, you just have to love that person and work with them and love them and love them and love them and love them enough till they get to the place in their life where they say, yes, I want this demon out of my life. I want Jesus to be Lord. I want Jesus to reign in my heart and not this demon anymore. Then you can cast it out. That's why it says, this did she many days. That's right. Glory to God. Isn't that loving? Isn't that tender? Isn't that gentle? Isn't that kind? Isn't that just so wonderful how Paul and those believers ministered to that woman? Glory to God. Glory to God. That's right. But this is how you have to work in the ministry of deliverance. You don't just try to command every demon to come out of every person. It just won't work because you got to be led by the Spirit, remember? You got to be led by the Spirit. That's right. And there are different conditions involved in one person to another person. And you've got to discern the conditions involved, and then you've got to minister properly according to the Spirit of God. That's right. Recognizing the spiritual authority of each person over their own life. That's right. Glory to God. You see, the greater threat you are to Satan, the higher ranking demon you'll have assigned to you. Well, don't worry about it. Because the greater threat you are to Satan, the more angels God will assign to you in your life as well. Paul had a demon assigned to him. Remember the angel, the messenger of Satan? Well, I guarantee you, Paul had some mighty angels that were working with him as well. That's right. Glory to God. That's right. We're in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war. And the greater threat you are to Satan, the more you better be led by the Spirit, and the more you better praise God so that through your spiritual praise, you can silence the enemy and the avenger. That's right, according to Psalm 8:2. Glory to God. The higher ranking you are in God's kingdom, the more you give praise to God, the more you walk in humility, and the more you walk in boldness, so that these demons don't affect you, they don't defeat you. Glory to God. You see, demonization happens in the areas of weakness, in the soul or in the body. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 11. He's a tricky little devil. Glory to God. It's glory to God, at least we know about it. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll notice that I say glory to God about most everything. You've gotten to know me now. You've been listening to me for 17 hours, bless your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, but I fear lest by any means, he'll use any means, he'll use your wife, he'll use your husband, he'll use your children, he'll use your mother-in-law, he'll use your father-in-law, he'll use your parents, he'll use the community, he'll use any means possible, any means. So you got to be on guard all the time. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That is why you must lead every thought to the obedience of Christ, glory to God. That's right. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought from every person in every situation. You run it past. You bring it before the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, do I hold on to this thing or not? Do I keep it or not? That's right. And if the Lord says get rid of it, you're still courteous, you're still loving to the person who said it, but on the inside, you just drop it in the trash can. That's right. Glory to God. You see, 2 Timothy chapter 4, demonization in your life and in the lives of the people that you minister to always comes in the areas of weakness. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Glory to God. In verse 1 it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be in 1 Timothy. Sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Talking about demonization. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some or certain ones shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. This word giving heed means to turn your attention towards and listen to. They try to distract you from the purposes of God. They try to replace the Holy Spirit in your life. So they'll talk to you, and you're not to talk back to them. You're not to listen to them. You're not to give heed to them. If you sense in your spirit that something is being done or said contrary to the will of God, you just shut it off. You ignore it. You don't get involved in it. See, unless the Holy Spirit directs you to. But you stay sharp, because certain ones shall depart from the faith. They'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. These seducing spirits and doctrines of demons are what open up Christians to demon spirits who come in through areas of weakness and demonize that person and distract them from the purposes of God and keep them from fulfilling their ministry. See? You and I are too important in the kingdom of God. You. Yes, you. You are too important in the kingdom of God to give heed to seducing spirits and have your life be put out of action, for you to be a casualty in the spiritual war. You're too important. You need to give heed to the Holy Spirit only, according to the Word and according to the written revelation. You don't listen to any other spirits. You don't listen to any other spirits or any other doctrines other than the Word of God and the revealed Word from the Holy Spirit. See? Because it says, certain ones shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. And I see this all over the Christian church. Leaders speaking lies and hypocrisy. It's because they're under the influence of seducing spirits, and they've listened to doctrines of devils. I see this all the time. Leaders, Christian leaders, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Ladies and gentlemen, this ought not to happen. It shouldn't be in the Christian church. And yet we see it time after time. Why? Because we've turned our attention from the Holy Spirit. We've listened to seducing spirits or doctrines of devils, giving heed to seducing spirits, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. When a person's conscience has been cauterized or seared with a hot iron, it takes a miracle of healing for that person to get delivered. Because this is a condition that will not heal itself. When in the physical body, when something is cauterized, when it's sealed off, it won't heal itself. It has to be cauterized. It has to be sealed off by the burning of the flesh. When a person has been given heed to a seducing spirit and they've allowed doctrines of demons into their minds, they need a miraculous healing to get their life turned around. They need a miraculous healing, something greater than repentance. They need a miraculous healing to get their life turned around. So don't allow yourself to get into this position. Don't allow yourself to follow seducing spirits. Don't give heed to seducing spirits. Don't give heed to doctrines of devils. Follow the Holy Spirit only according to the written Word. Doctrines of demons open the door to demonization. Doctrines of demons that are moved by seducing spirits through people or into people who give heed to them. Those doctrines of demons open the door for demon spirits to move in and take control of that person. When a doctrine of demons is allowed into a person's mind, it builds a stronghold of unbelief. That stronghold of unbelief becomes a nest or a home for the strong man. See? Whatever you have been taught that is contrary to the Word of God, if you have allowed it, if you have accepted it in your mind,
that has become a stronghold of unbelief in your mind. And that stronghold must be torn down, because it's the stronghold that gives a room, it gives a place for the strong man to come in and take control. If you want to get rid of the strong man, you have to tear down the stronghold as well as casting out the strong man. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare," 2 Corinthians 10:4, "for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, what is a stronghold? I said that strongholds are built by seducing spirits who introduce doctrines of demons. When you have a stronghold in your mind, this is the description of a stronghold. It is a mindset or a way of thinking that is impregnated with hopelessness, that causes the believer to accept as unchangeable something that he or she knows is contrary to the will of God. For instance, if you believe that poverty is, that you can't escape poverty, even though you read the Word of God where it says you're supposed to prosper and be in health, even though you read the Word of God, you see all over the Word of God that God wants you to prosper, and you think, well, I've lived in poverty, my parents have lived in poverty, my grandparents have lived in poverty, even though you know that it's contrary to the will of God, if you accept that and you believe that the situation is hopeless, that is a stronghold in your mind. That is a stronghold in your mind. We have a doctrine of demons here in the United States, that homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle. It's an alternative lifestyle that it's caused somehow by a genetic problem or a genetic, some sort of gene that causes people to, in their bodies, to, that causes them to be homosexual in their sexual orientation. The Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination. The Bible says that homosexuality is caused by demons. But what these demons do is they teach these things. They teach these doctrines of demons that build strongholds in people's minds, and then they accept that. They accept that, and when they've built that stronghold in their mind, then the strong man comes in, and they are demonized. That's right. They think they're homosexual and they can never change, even though they can change. They can change. That's right. They can be healed. They can be delivered. You can, you know, if you have a stronghold of poverty, you can be delivered. If you have a stronghold of lying, you can be delivered. If you've been a witch doctor, you can be delivered. If you've been overcome by lust in your life and you have sexual perversion in your life, you can be delivered. That's right. That's right. Whatever the power of Satan has over your life, you can be delivered from it. That's right. Through the power of God, as we pull down these strongholds. But what happens is people give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, which open up the minds, their minds to these strongholds of unbelief, and then the strong man comes and lives in the stronghold. That's right. The strong man, the demon. Look at Luke chapter 11. This is how they demonize. This is how they get away with it. This is how they do it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21 says, "When a strong man armed keeps his palace or guards his home," a strong man armed guards his home, "his goods are in peace." Now, who are the goods? In this case, it's the human host of this strong man. That's right. These devils are so rude. They think they actually own people. That's right. They think that this is their home. They think that they're so rude. They think that they actually own the human host that they live in. That's right. I love to go in and cast out demons. That's right. Just kick them out into the darkness. Why? Because we take authority over them in the name of Jesus Christ, because the person that we have worked with and loved and blessed wants that demon out of their life. Then we're led by the Holy Spirit. We cast that demon out, and then we destroy the stronghold, and the demon never comes back. That's right. That's right. Glory to God. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, the stronger than he is you and I, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, shall come upon him. You know what the word means to come upon someone? It means to attack them. To attack them. And that's right. We attack demons wherever we find them in people's lives. We attack them. That's right. We start the fight. Glory to God. As we're led by the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is a warrior. The Lord is a mighty man of war. He is a warrior king. He is a warrior king. And it takes a fight to get in and get people delivered of demons. You got to get in there and you got to fight. You got to not only fight for your people, but you got to fight for your community. You got to fight for your city. You got to fight for your nation. You got to fight for it. You got to fight for it. It's no good just to have the power of God. You got to get out there and use it, and you got to go attack the enemy as you're led by the Spirit. But when a stronger than he shall attack him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and he divides his spoils. Hallelujah. We take that person and we tear down his, we cast out the demon, we tear down his stronghold by building the Word of God in their life, by building the Word of God in their life, by systematically building the Word of God in their life so that that stronghold of homosexuality is destroyed, so that stronghold of unbelief concerning poverty is destroyed. We destroy it with the Word of God by systematically building the Word in that person's life. That's right. That's right. You know, in the ministry of deliverance, the easiest part is casting out the demon. The real challenge is tearing down the stronghold and keeping that demon out. That's right, glory to God. It's no problem to cast out demons. Jesus said he did it by the finger of God. One little finger. So powerful enough to cast out demons. But the real challenge is to tear down the stronghold and replace it with true belief according to the Word of God. That's right. So if you got a stronghold of poverty, you get the demon of poverty cast out, but then you got to tear down the stronghold of poverty. So you got to study the Word, what it says about prosperity, and build those promises and build those truths into your heart and life to where you believe in prosperity as much as you used to believe in poverty. Glory to God. That's right. The strong man enters the stronghold. If we can cast that, if we can get him out of the stronghold and tear down get him out of the stronghold and then tear down that stronghold, that person won't get demonized again. Glory to God. But they got demonized in the first place because they listened to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what opened the door. Now, in their bodies, people can get attacked by spirits of infirmity. That's right. Look at Luke chapter 11 again, verse 13. In the mind, it's through doctrines of demons that demons are able to get in. People give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That opens the doors in their soul. And then doors are opened through weakness in their physical bodies for demons of infirmity to get in the physical body. That's right. This woman who had a demon of infirmity that bowed her together for 18 years. She didn't have it in her soul. She had it in her body, you see. She had it in her body. And it had to be driven out. And then just as the soul has to be healed in terms of the stronghold being torn down, then the body has to be healed. Where that spirit of infirmity was, the body has to be healed so that weakness is taken away so that the demon can't come back in the spirit of infirmity. Do you understand? Where demons get into the soul or into the body through weakness. When they are cast out, then those weaknesses have to be healed. They have to be corrected so that the door closes so those demons don't come back in again. Glory to God. Jesus cast out the spirit of infirmity, then he healed her body so that the spirit couldn't come back in again. Demons always get into the soul or into the body through weakness. In the physical body, They can get into the physical body through genetic weaknesses. Weaknesses that are passed down in the genetic makeup from the father and mother to the child, and maybe don't even manifest themselves until 50 years later. There are many, many diseases that are genetically induced, or genetically the weakness is allowed into the human body through genetic imperfections. Those can be corrected by the power of God as you're led by the Spirit. Glory to God. I'll teach you how to do it. Injuries can open the door to weakness in the physical body that in turn allows a spirit of infirmity in. Bad habits, for instance, smoking or drinking alcohol, these are poisons that if people continually ingest these poisons into their body, they will weaken the body to the place where a demon of infirmity can come in the form of, let's say, cancer into the esophagus in the throat area because a person has been smoking cigarettes all their lives. They've broken down the physical and natural barriers in the human body in the throat area and opened them up to a demon of cancer in the form of a demon of infirmity that causes a cancer in that physical body. Demons in the physical body are diseases that have life in themselves. That's right. Cancer is a disease that has life in itself. Its origin is demonic. That's right. And habits, bad habits of eating or drinking can open your body up to physical weakness that the devil exploits and puts a disease into you, try to kill you off as soon as possible. He uses viruses, and we'll be talking about viruses later on in the class when we get to gifts of healings. He uses viruses. Viruses are nasty. Nasty medical things that attack the human body. They attack healthy cells and multiply through healthy cells. These viruses come in. Do great destruction. But again, we can destroy viruses by the power of God. You know, medical science has never destroyed a virus. That's right. Medical science has never cured a virus. But you can cure viruses, you can destroy viruses by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And you know another category that brings in weakness in the physical body is just old age. That's right. Many times our older men and women, the ravages of time and the aging of their bodies opens the door for demon spirits to come in. That's right. And that's why we got to protect our older people and watch over them in prayer and pray for them and guard them spiritually to help them to believe God for the defenses of their physical body because they're just worn down through age. Glory to God. You see, this is the way they demonize. They always attack areas of weakness either in the physical body or in the mind. Now, when it comes to breaking principalities and casting out demons, there are principalities that have territorial control over the area in which you live. And you can pray against them to bring down their power and to advance the kingdom of God. There are things that you can do. But in all attack, in all moves of the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God, all the moves of the kingdom of God are to be led by the Spirit. That's right. Don't approach this subject of dealing with principalities or casting out demons from a soulish desire to do something to move the kingdom of God. Let yourself be led by the Spirit. Let yourself be led by the Spirit, and He will show you, and He will teach you what you're up against and how to deal with it in a way that is effective and successful. That's right. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. It says in verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Then it says some things in verse 16 and 17. And then it gets down here to verse 18. It says, "They shall take up serpents." They shall take up serpents. This word "take up" is in the sense of taking up and throwing down. See, taking them up to the end of throwing them down in destruction. And these serpents are referring to demon principalities, powerful demons who rule over areas. And yet you and I, filled with the power of God, led by the Spirit of God, are more powerful than they are. That's right, glory to God. Look at Psalm 91. This is spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. This is taking on the demons that control your city, that control your nation, and tearing them down by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. I've told you during the course of this class about different demons that I have confronted, different demon situations that I have handled by the power of God. I told you about the situation in Kiambu. I told you about the incident of the riots or the planned riots in the city of Nairobi that never happened. How we took authority against those demons and we bound their power in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they couldn't do anything. Just couldn't do anything. Why? Because we had bound them. But we bound them as we were led by the Spirit. We bound them as we were led by the Spirit. See? You must understand that the doctrine of spiritual power, and I reiterate this over and over again through this class so that you get it. The doctrine of spiritual power is to be led by the Spirit. You cannot do these things out of your soul just because your soul wants to. You go to the Lord and you wait for instructions. You go to the Lord and you wait for instructions. And then when the instructions come, you carry them out with boldness and confidence, and then you see the victory. That's right. In Psalm 91, it says, "Thou shalt tread upon," verse 13, "the lion and the serpent. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." What does it mean to trample lions and to trample serpents? It means to crush them in victory. That's right. When you trample on someone, it means you've won the victory over them. That's right. We're supposed to win the victory over these demons. We're supposed to take them on. We are the stronger than he who comes upon the strong man, whether he's a strong man in an individual's life or whether he's a strong man territorial principality over a whole city or over a whole nation. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, so we are stronger than he. We come upon him and we attack him and we overcome him. But we do these things as we're led by the Spirit. That's right. We're led by the Spirit, glory to God. You see, the Spirit will lead you in showing you what kind of demon is you are up against. And then he'll show you the strategies of how to pray and how to come against that demon. Basically, you come against a demon in an opposite spirit. If there's a demon of pride in a church, and I've done this at times, I will humble myself in front of the whole congregation as I'm led by the Spirit. I'll come against that demon of pride in a spirit of humility. See? You want to break that spirit's power? You come against it in opposite spirit. You got a spirit of fear? What's the opposite of fear? Love. That's right. When everybody's bound by a spirit of selfishness, how do you come against that spirit of selfishness? By giving. You see, for every devilish characteristic there's a genuine characteristic of the Holy Spirit that you come against it in. That's right. Because light dispels darkness. And the brighter the light is, the more dark the darkness is. You know, the darkness is obviously dispelled. I mean, it's shown for what it was and then it's dispelled. That's right. Light overcomes darkness. And we approach demons in an opposite spirit. That's right. Because light dispels darkness. Turn on the light and all the darkness flees away. Hallelujah. You discern the demons that you're up against. You can pray against them in warfare prayer as you're led by the Spirit. You come against them in an opposite spirit and then you bind demons as you're led by the Spirit and you loose angels. That's right. You command angels to go forth and fight. You command angels to guard. You command angels to use their power and authority to advance the kingdom of God. And they will, because they're under your authority, glory to God. Glory to God. That's right. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Behold, verse 19, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. I give unto you power, authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is how we walk. And this is necessary. And this is, this in terms of breaking principalities, there's whole books that have been written on this subject. I'm only covering it in a few short minutes, giving you the understanding in light of the whole context of this class and being led by the Spirit, see. But this is how to do it. And if you want to study this subject more, there are wonderful books by John Dawson, let's say, or Peter Wagner, or some of these other men who have really worked this field of spiritual warfare and breaking principalities. Some of these books you might want to acquire. For instance, Taking Our Cities for God by John Dawson, or Praying with Power by Peter Wagner. These are books that really deal with this subject in a more in-depth way than I can on this teaching set. But these are things that you'll want to learn and work more. But when it comes to breaking principalities or casting out demons, first of all, you realize that you have authority over them. Now, when it comes to casting out demons, you realize that just as that person was prepared to receive the demon, they were prepared to receive the demon by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, or by injuries or however they got into the physical body, they have to be prepared to cast out that demon. They have to be prepared to have them cast out. Remember, Paul worked with that woman for many days. Paul and the disciples worked with that woman for many days, just loving her, just encouraging her, just keeping her around for the first thing, and then blessing her so that she could get to the place where she wanted that demon out, and then Paul could cast the demon out. He could cast the spirit of divination out of the woman. People have to be prepared, and you have to work with people to bring them to the place where they can get delivered, and then they can keep the demon out. See? They need to repent of their sins. Because in the bottom line, what opened the door for that demon to get in was a weakness in their body or in their soul. If it was a weakness in their soul, then most likely the demon exploited a sin problem in their life, and they need to repent of their sins. That's right. It's always a good thing just to keep cleansed. You know, repent and confess their sins, especially if they're, you know, we've talked about breaking curses, and this is a very, very important part of casting out demons as well, that they need to confess the sins not only of their own sins, but any kind of sin of involvement in the occult or any kind of family involvement in anything that might have brought a curse into their life, for instance, like idolatry or something else. You see, these are things that you do to help prepare the people to really cast the demons, you know, to cast the demons out. And again, just like in the category of breaking curses, we talked about forgiveness. They have to be willing to forgive the people who hurt them, because it's so necessary in order for their own sins to be forgiven, for God to forgive their trespasses and to shut the door on that thing. And then, especially when it comes to dealing with the deliverance from evil spirits, if they have anything on their body or if they have anything in their house that was dedicated to an evil spirit, for instance, a good luck ring or a charm bracelet or an ankle bracelet. I've even seen bracelets around the bellies of babies that these people, they couldn't get delivered from the devil, from the demon spirits, until these bracelets were taken off, because the bracelets identified them as belonging to the demon. See? These bracelets or charms have to be removed, see, if you're going to cast out demons out of people. And then finally, you cast the demon out. You command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you've done these other things of really preparing this person and you're being led by the Spirit, the actual casting out of a demon is very simple. It's very simple. I would always, if in the ideal situation is if you're casting out a demon, at least have one or possibly two other people with you to help you. Because sometimes these demons get violent and you need to be able to restrain the person in casting out the demon. But it's always good to have somebody helping you anyways. But if you're there and you have to cast out the demon by yourself, then you'll be able to do it just by yourself. But it's always good to have somebody else with you and working with you. But if you will do these things and prepare that person to be delivered and be led by the Spirit, just be patient. Sometimes it may take days. I've waited weeks at times in working with somebody who was possessed. I've waited weeks at times knowing all along that they were possessed. I waited weeks until the Lord gave me the go to really minister to them, and then they got delivered. See, because we want to be led by the Spirit, and we want to wait until the Spirit says, go, do it now. See, we want to make sure those people are prepared. You command it to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. You speak to that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ by the authority you've been given. You talk right to the Spirit, just like Paul did in Acts chapter 16. He said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He spoke to the Spirit. He didn't speak to the woman. He spoke to the Spirit. See, because when you're casting out a demon, you are casting out a living, thinking being. You are talking to a spirit being who is alive, who has a personality, who has intelligence, who has knowledge of what you're doing. He knows you by your name. And he will respond to your spiritual authority because you are the greater than he. So do these things. In casting out demons, remember to prepare. Just as the person was prepared by demons in order for the demon to get in there, you've got to prepare the person to help them get the demons out and then to keep the demons out by tearing down the spiritual stronghold. And if you will allow yourself to be led by the Spirit, you will be very effective in the ministry of deliverance of demons. And in the ministry of being led by the Spirit and walking with the power of God.